Okay, so our discussion's the 23rd Psalm, so it's a discussion about sheep. Got a couple little parts for you about sheep, so bear with me, laugh at the appropriate time. Where do sheep give a lamb a bath? You know where it is? In the bathtub. Which show do lambs love to watch? Barney and Friends. There's two more. Keep going. Actually, when I typed in sheep jokes, it was a long, long list. I'm not giving them all to you today. Where do sheep go on holiday cruises? To the Bahamas. Okay. Which American football team do sheep root for? The Rams. Thank you. Very good. That's right. Not the Ravens, Redskins. And they're missing out when they don't root for the Steelers. Okay. So, Susan read earlier about Psalm 23, and it's about a shepherd. Interestingly enough, in that psalm, never is the word sheep mentioned. It's assumed. That's what shepherds do. They watch sheep, but nothing about sheep in that psalm. It's all about what the shepherd does for us. Throughout the course of this summer and into the fall, we're going to look at this psalm. And what does it mean to call Jesus shepherd of our lives? David gave us this psalm. He wrote it a long time before he was king. He wrote it when he was actually a shepherd and understood the qualities of what a shepherd brings to the sheep. And then he took that and appropriated it to God. Understanding what God brought to David, God, shepherd, David, the sheep, David the shepherd brought to his sheep that he watched out for. Interestingly enough, he starts off with this phrase, "The Lord is." That's how David starts. The Lord is. Now, many have made many statements trying to deny the reality that the Lord is. And when you say the Lord is, you're saying that that's a present reality, that God is an entity in this world today. You're acknowledging that there is a Lord, and that Lord is alive and well. Back in 1966, Time Magazine had on its front cover, I remember reading this. It disturbed me back then. It said, "Is God dead?" And it quoted Friedrich Nietzsche. 80 years earlier, Nietzsche had written that God was dead and that we, here's his actual quote, he said that God's dead, but humans still desire for God to exist. I've read some of Nietzsche's works. He's an angry man. Oh my goodness, if you want to be depressed, start reading some of Nietzsche. And so it's interesting that there are many who make these statements. And no matter what we say about God, the deep thinkers across societies have acknowledged there has to be a grander entity than us. Aristotle, Plato, two of the greatest thinkers of all time, have said that there is an entity greater than us. And they've acknowledged that God is at work in the universe. God created the universe. It just didn't happen by itself. Let me give you an example. An atheist scientist came to God, had this conversation, said, "We figured out how to make a human without you, God." God said, "Okay, let me see you do it." To which the scientist then reached down to the ground and went to scoop up some dirt, which God said, "Oh, no. You get your own dirt." Interestingly enough, Paul in Romans highlights the fact of what Aristotle and Plato acknowledge. There's got to be something grander out there. In fact, Paul in chapter 1 of this signature work of Romans said, starts with verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what we can see around us." So we could go on and on and on. I could prove the existence of God to you, that really God is a reality. But I want to say to you, no matter what we think, the Lord is. That God's there. Part of the way we understand this is that there has to be a God behind it all. Some have stopped at this statement, "The Lord is." And they've acknowledged that there is a supreme being, or they call it an unmoved mover, or an intelligent designer. That this all couldn't have come from one big boom, of which no one knows how it started, and no one's there to see it started. But we're asked to go to the next level of saying the Lord is a shepherd. It's God who coordinates the movements of all that we see around us. It's God who takes the universe and keeps it perfectly in play. It's God who shepherds us humans, who moves us from those moments of pain to moments of healing. It's God who shepherds us through those moments in which we have problems and brings us to solutions. It's God who brings us from sadness to sweetness. It's God who shepherds us from the craziness that exists in our soul to the character that's deeply involved in our lives. It's God who moves among us. Let me give you another example. There was a woman, Christian woman, who prayed regularly. And she'd like to go out into nature and pray. So she'd go on her back porch and she'd praise God. She was one of those verbal prayers. You know, some are silent prayers. You see their lips moving, but no words. No, not this woman. She's out on her back porch and she's saying, "Thank you, God, for this," and "I acknowledge this," and etc. Her neighbor, who was not a believer, hated that. Hated when she went on the back porch and praised God. So one day, this woman, who is very poor, is on the back porch, and she says, "God, I have nothing in the house. Help me. I know you'll send help." The neighbor thought, "I got her now." So he went to the grocery store. He bought loads of groceries, bag after bag of groceries. He brings up, puts them on the back porch, her prayer corner. He knocks on the door and stands there. She comes out. She sees all the groceries. And the woman says, "Thank you, God, for providing groceries." The man said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 wait. I brought these groceries, not God." The woman looked at him, looked at the groceries, and then went praising back to God. "Thank you, God, for bringing the groceries and making the devil pay for it." Now, I don't want to say anything about the rest of that story. But God shepherds us, both believers and non-believers. If you doubt this, read the Era of the Kings. Oh, in the Old Testament, about how God uses heathen nations to get the attention of the nation of Israel. For believers, God brings us to places of blessing. For non-believers, God brings those folks to places of acknowledging that there is a God grander and greater than themselves. I have to admit, sadly, the only time I've ever shared this psalm regularly is at funerals. It's like we take a person's life and filter it back through the 23rd psalm to see how God shepherded them, loved them, cared for them, gave them all those parts that are in there, acknowledging then last part, which is verse 6, part B, dwelling in God's house forever. The amazing part about this whole psalm that we look at is not the Lord is. That's there whether we believe it or not. Not the Lord's a shepherd. God's going to do that. It's a little tiny word in that first phrase, the word "my." The Lord is my shepherd. The moment we acknowledge that God, that Jesus is my shepherd, God opens us up to a grander reality, a new perspective, if you will. God allows us to see that our tragedy is not in and of itself tragedy, that God will lead us through to a place of blessing. God, through this new perspective, allows us to see the new job didn't come from luck. Oh, no. It came from God's movement and God's providence. God will allow us to see this new perspective, that trials that come our way make deep character within us, which means then the next trial we have endurance, which means the next moment we have hope. That's what happens when we say, "Lord, you're my shepherd. Lead me." Let me give you a final example. We went to visit Keith. That's our youngest son. He lives as far away from here as you can get almost. 2,943 miles away, but who's counting? Okay? He lives in Squim, Washington. Part of when we moved there, I thought, I want to see the farthest point of these connected United States. Okay, these 48 states. And he's only about an hour away from that. So we went together to see it. It's called Cape Flattery. Most places you go that are tourist sites, big visitor center, right? Big signs, photo op moment, not Cave Flattery. It's a tiny little trail leading from a tiny little sign. So we go down the trail hoping this is what we were going to see. And as we're walking through, there's big trees all over. We barely see the sky. We hear a roar. We hear this roar. We don't know what it is. We hear the, can't see it. We don't know what that is either. And we hear a little beep, 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 beep. We can hear it. We can't see it. And then all of a sudden, the trail's about a mile long. All of a sudden, there's this wooden platform, and you step out onto the edge of the United States of America, and about 2,000 feet down is the Pacific Ocean. At least that's what it felt like to me. Okay? And our son Keith's like, yeah, this is really cool. I'm like, no, don't do that. Oh. This is high enough for me right here. Interesting thing, as we were walking through the woods, we had no perspective. But when we got to the edge, the roar was the ocean crashing against these large rock formations out in the Pacific Ocean. The was a boat, looked about that big, way down in the ocean with people who were sightseeing. And the beep, 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 they were birds. They were everywhere. When we got to the end, that's why we have perspective. Now, when you say the Lord's my shepherd, God gives you perspective on your life. You're no longer in the woods. Now you know that God has not only where you're going, but God has how you're going to get there. That God will not only lead you here, but God will lead you to the end. You have that wonderful perspective because you said, Jesus, you are my shepherd, that he's going to lead you. Now, I don't want to give you any more because guess what? I've got 5 more sermons on this. And so you'll hear more of this later. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, that you do not leave us wandering in this world by ourselves. You gave us a shepherd who knows who we are, calls us by name, and we understand and hear his voice. Help us, Lord, to not only say that you are, that you shepherd, but that you're my shepherd in this world. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, our shepherd. It's in his name we pray. Amen.